The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
Hi, besties. It's Yamini. Thanks so much for listening to Pillow Fight. Every week, we play a couple rounds of Fuck, Marry, Kill and Would You Rather based on recent headlines and finish off the episode with some juicy truth or dare. If you like the show, give us a little like wherever you're listening, and if you're feeling extra generous, leave us a review. Go follow us on Instagram, and if you prefer to watch the show visually, catch our facial reactions, see all those dares, go check it out on Big Comedy Network's YouTube channel. This week, I'm joined by my friend, Avery Gerion. Avery's a red-haired writer and comedian who can be seen performing around LA with her sketch group Babe Motel or at UCB with her Lloyd team Odyssey. She wrote on the most recent season of Secrets of Sulphur Springs on Disney+.
Pillow fight.
Is yours made of goose?
We got feathers flying everywhere.
Mine's made of goose.
Pillow fight.
This is so fun.
We're pillow fighting.
Why is this so fun?
Pillow fight.
I'm working at a summer camp this summer, and I'm teaching swim lessons in the morning, and it's definitely a shift from being like an unemployed freelance copywriter, TV writer, to being like, wake up at 7 and we're going to be mermaids with like 5-year-olds.
Is it fun though?
No, it's totally fun. Having a blast. No, I mean, honestly, it is really precious. And I mean, other than like having to adjust for myself of like, okay, I need to go to bed at like 9:30 latest because I have to wake up at like 6:30. Mm-hmm. But no, it's really sweet. And I, you know, being outside, I used to love swimming. I used to swim so much in middle school and high school, but it's been a second. But my freckles are already like really out in full force. What about you? Have you been?
I've been all right. I'm moving out of this apartment in 2 weeks, and that's really stressing me out because it feels like just such an impending doom. I just need it to happen and be done with so that I can move on with it. But I've lived here for 2 years, and it's my first like place in LA, and so everything's here, and it feels like a really large physical and emotional task to move.
Yeah, there is something so strange because I'm still in my first, 2 years at my first apartment living alone, like adult life in LA. And I can only imagine there is really like such a departure. But you have Chorizo.
I do have Chorizo. He's so precious. It's one of those things where like the knowing it's happening is anxiety inducing, but once it happens, like it'll have to happen.
Yeah. No, so. I'm like that. No, I was talking to my mom the other day and just of like, I've always been super bad with transitions. I think like everybody is, but I remember she was reminding me of like, oh, when it was like the few days before school starting or like a new camp or like any big thing, I'd always get so, my stomach would hurt so bad that I would lie like naked belly on the tile floor of my bathroom, like 10, not like, but just in terms of how physically exhausting and stressful like any point of transition is. And like once you make it through, yeah, you'll be okay, but it doesn't necessarily make it easier. No, it like, okay, so it sucks for right now. There's no solution.
Yeah. And my habits just haven't been good at all. And I feel like they normally are decent, but they're really bad right now. Like my version of the tummy ache was I just wouldn't sleep the night before something big would happen. Just no sleep at all. And now I'm doing this thing where I'm not sleeping at night and I'm like sleeping during the day. And then I'm like spending a lot of time out of the house, which is ultimately like, it would be a good thing for me if that wasn't a way for me to neglect the things that I need to do in the house.
Right. And honestly though, it's the thing too of just like giving yourself a break too. Like sometimes I get so overwhelmed of like, oh, if my room gets so, so messy and I'm like, oh, but you're having a really difficult time or week or whatever. So it's like, okay, like it makes sense for you to be neglectful and it makes sense for you to need to sleep during the day and all those things, but
yeah, it's less shame about the past me and more like pressure on the future me to like, I now I have to clean. But then that like mountain and mountain and mountain, it just mountains up into this like giant insurmountable task. And then what do?
That's, I get in the habit of like, I love writing lists. I can be like the most like type A anal, like organized person in some capacities, but then truly the most like slovenly slob, like in different areas. But the funny thing is like, I'll start writing a list and I always feel like I can't finish writing the list until I have everything on it. And then by the end of writing it, I'm like, this is too overwhelming. And I don't do anything except cross off, like make a list.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I knew a girl in college who would like, she always seemed like she was the one working the hardest, but she would just spend so much time making a study guide. And then it would be like the day before the test and she hadn't like looked at the study guide. She's just been like making it. And like, that's obsessed. That is how I feel in my, just like maintaining my adult life.
No, truly. I feel like I'm always like, the finally when I get it, like, and I catch up, like, oh, I did my laundry, I put everything away. I'm like, how are there pants on my floor again? Like, this came out of nowhere. And it's just so daunting. But I'm also, my dad said the other day, he was like, Avery, so many people have messy rooms. And I was like, okay, true. Why are we really telling ourselves we're the only people behaving this way too? Is like, everybody's experiencing it. I don't know if that's even more comforting or not, but I went through my closet for the first time since I've moved into this place, truly a year and a half ago. And I went through my whole closet. It was like from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
I thought you were going to say from 11 years old.
Oh.
Like your closet. I was like, why do you still have stuff from when you were?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, these are my baby clothes. No. But it was this whole thing, and I still have this pile of like shoes I want to theoretically sell in a pile, and it's and that's stressing me out. And the clothes for Goodwill are just in my trunk, and they've been in there for like 3 weeks.
My car is just a storage facility right now. It's really bad. I'm supposed to hang out with Kel tomorrow, and last time I saw Kel, they sold me their electric drum kit, and they texted me like, how's it been going, like using it, and it's still in my car because I just like haven't been able like, to unload it. That's in my car. There's a sewing machine in my car. There's like,
I was about to say, is the sewing machine still in your car?
The sewing machine is still in my car. There's a giant bag of clothes that I need to donate in there. There's a giant bag of clothes that I need to like mail to thread up to like maybe sell in there. When you start telling yourself though, like you're gonna start selling shit in your house, like that is something that I at this point should stop believing myself when I ever tell myself that, but I literally continue to lie to myself about it.
No, I'm in a situation right now when I went through my closet. I also do a horrible thing where, well, this was me in the past, kind of during the pandemic. If I online shopped or something and it didn't fit me, I would just be like, oh, well, I lost that money and into the closet it goes. Like I simply, again, cannot. How would anyone ever return something? How do you do that? Like I don't know.
Returning is something that when I have done it, it's like for 24 hours, I feel like the baddest bitch in the whole world, you know?
I wish I could say that resonates, but I don't think I've ever returned anything, but I think that would be how I felt. It's crazy. But no, so I have these like shoes when I was sorting through that are truly unworn, just like a size too small. And I'm like, oh, I have to sell them. But then I realized that I tried to do this 2 years ago, like mid-pandemic, and I have this Poshmark account, except basically, I'm like really poorly reviewed on it because I put up one pair of shoes and people want to buy them all. I still to this day get emails, Poshmark being like, we want your green Adidas. We want them. And like, I went on a week, like a month ago or something. And the top comment on my account is like, this bitch doesn't answer. Don't bother. So I'm like, I can't possibly sell. I don't know. It's tough. Because I feel like I've got the goods. I just do not have the work ethic.
Yeah. I wish AI could handle that. I wish AI could do my returns. Like, walk yes.
I'd be so down for AI if AI could return my clothes.
Yeah.
Everything else, I'm like, I don't know.
I want AI to be able to leave my house and take care of errands.
Wait, you know the little like DoorDash robots?
Yeah, the robots. I saw one yesterday that had a name on the side. That started to freak me out.
What was the name?
Damien.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a good name. That's a strong name.
It is a good name. And they spell it with an E instead of an A, like at the end, which I prefer. Damien. That spelling, okay. Damien. But I didn't like that they were giving it so much personhood. And I have a vendetta with these little robots because when you order food, it makes you tip before you know that it's going to be a robot. And I'm like, I tip generously to a human. I don't want that money going to a robot. I'm sorry. And I don't know that it's going to a robot. I didn't ask for that money to be given to a robot.
The next time that Damien, he like gets a little jacket, it's your tip money. That's crazy. Yeah, I need to know I'm happy to tip. Are you kidding? I'll tip 50%. I'm loaded. I'm rich. I have so much money. No. Yeah, robots are going too far. That's my stance. Way too far.
I'm fine with the robots delivering my food. I just don't want to be paying them human wages.
Yeah.
Is that discrimination? Maybe. Maybe I'm on the wrong side of history here, but...
Well, I guess once the robot gains sentience, then we should be tipping human money.
Yeah, well, we're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
Fuck. Mary? Kill. Fuck, Mary, kill.
Number one, Colleen Ballinger, the YouTuber who created famous internet sensation Miranda Sings, responded this week to accusations that she groomed teenagers. In a video, she strums a ukulele while denying the allegations. My team has strongly advised me not to say what I'm going to say, but they never said I couldn't sing what I want to say. She also said that the only thing she's ever groomed in her life are her two Persian cats. I feel like you can't say that in a post-Shane Dawson world, but alas... Number two, after three seasons, cult comedy The Other Two is coming to a close at HBO Max. Though the show is a satire about the dark undercurrents of ego and fame in the entertainment business, this announcement comes amid multiple staff complaints about the creators and showrunners Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider. The allegations suggest that Kelly verbally abused his writers and Schneider enabled his behavior, but they do call out Kelly more so than Schneider and say that Schneider is also being toxically controlled by Kelly. Number three. The 6-3 conservative Supreme Court has made several rulings this past week, all of them making it harder and harder to be optimistic about the direction this country is moving in. A few of the rulings include ending affirmative action, blocking Biden's student loan forgiveness program, and allowing religious business owners to refuse service to LGBTQ patrons. So, Colleen Ballinger's apology song, Art Imitating Life at The Other Two, and the Supreme Court's conservative decisions... Fuck, marry, kill. I know they're all bad, but what would you do? Your head.
I'm literally like, wait, how could I ever want to fuck or marry any of them? Well, I think I have to kill the Supreme Court. That feels very like, I don't think I feel a way I could get into bed with that or have long, meaningful conversations with that either. I think I would fuck the Colleen Ballinger song. I'm kind of like, I'll do anything once. I'm kind of like, I'll be, I'll be a little crazy. Like that's fucked up. But like, it's truly like so insane fucked up. I'm kind of like that would be, hey, that'd be a crazy night, you know? Jesus.
Yeah.
And then I think the only reason I would marry the other two is like as a TV writer and a comedy TV writer, I'm like, okay, I could really like, at least I'm like, I could read a lot and like think a lot about that whole other, the other two. I love that show. And I, you know, I'm such a fan of the show and it's something I would have wanted to like be a part of, but I also am somebody who would want to be in kind of that leadership role on a show. And I would never, you know, I've watched showrunners who lead with such like respect forward, and so I would only marry that because I'm like, well, you know what? We're going to go to bed and we're really going to talk about this, okay? And
you're taking work through them this. To couples therapy.
I'm taking them to couples therapy and go on good vacations. And the vacations would be like watching the show, right?
I today saw Drew Tarver on the street and I had just watched the other two finale last night. And it was so weird. I've never like felt so like seeing someone famous felt so like you are the character. Like there was just something so like he was struggling to pay his like parking thing. And like the machine was like not working and he was like getting frustrated with it. Not like not in the way that Carrie Dubeck ever would. Also, having watched it last night, I was like, this is such a moment from the show where like the show wraps and he's like out in public. You know, I don't know. It was like so weird.
No. Honestly, it's always so surreal. I feel like especially to have like just seen him the night before. And then I also love having kind of a celebrity sighting, but it's like a moment of human life that you're witnessing versus just like, oh, cool. I've seen Drew Tarver perform or, you know, but slay. I love the little parking ticket moment.
I think I have to kill the Colleen Ballinger thing just because like... Sheer personal comfort level. Miranda Sings, like Colleen Ballinger has always given me the hives. Like it has never really appealed to me. Like something about it has always been very off-putting to me. And then for her to respond to like accusations of grooming with a song to make the Notes app apology look like the best option. It's all very, like, the YouTubers of that era, like I said, it's hard to say you've only groomed cats in a post-Shane Dawson era. The YouTubers of that era are really scary to me, except for, like, Troye Sivan, who ended up just, like, leaving that world and making music and stuff. But
right,
they are, like, the scariest millennials money can buy. And I think I would have to, like, I just, there's not that much, like, the Supreme Court cases and stuff, there's a lot going on there. So I think there's like more, if something is uncomfortable, there's more to explore. The like just seeing the clips on Twitter was like giving me the hives, you know? Like
yeah, no. That tracks.
I think I would fuck the Supreme Court stuff. And I don't mean like fucking Clarence Thomas or anything like that. Also, do you know that Ketanji Brown Jackson got her start in improv? I think that's why she was so good at dealing with these like crazy white guys. Because that's
I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. Wait, did she really? I love that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I feel like public speaking, it makes sense.
I do think there is something about conservatism that to me feels like you are just scared of the unknown, and. I feel like if you got a taste of what the unknown was like, the unknown is what I call my pussy. If you got a taste of what the unknown was like, maybe things could change. I don't know. I don't actually think that's the issue, but, you know, I'm fucking that headline because it's just also so, it's like hate sex, you know? It's like angry,
fair.
Aggression sort of vibe. And I do think these kind of things are going to keep coming. I don't think that me not killing this one chunk of Weekend Decisions is gonna
really do.
Yeah. Because I think they're so powerful to keep doing all this fucked up shit. And then I would also marry all the stuff at the other two because it's the kind of thing where it's like any of the toxicity is extremely predictable. And I feel like I would maybe being married to that whole situation, I think you would start to learn how to handle being married to it. And yeah, you take it to therapy. There's moments of joy. There's moments of great times. You have like a great anniversary and you're like, wow, this is awesome. And then obviously it's shit, but you don't, you know, I think we'd have the kind of marriage or like we'd maybe have separate bedrooms.
Totally. Yeah.
So.
Tough week. All of it is really like... Isn't it weird in the way of, like you said, where it's this kind of predictable way culture, like, each week or each thing, it's like, oh, yeah, it makes sense that a millennial would be, like, behave in this, like, yeah, it is even worse than a Notes app. And it's like, again, yeah, Supreme Court, I'm ultimately not surprised based on everything that's happened before. And, oh, toxic television spaces. Oh, no, never heard of that. Wow. But it's crazy how it just truly cycles. I don't know. Sometimes it's like when I think about the pessimistic parts of the future, I'm like, or we could strive to be like the exception. And I think mm-hmm. that we could be the exception that is like random, lead with kind, or just like, it doesn't even need to be kindness. It just is like,
not meanness.
Not rude.
Yeah.
That video seemed like AI.
Yeah. Right? That video was freaky. The ukulele was insane. I mean, they need to ban ukulele sales to white people.
I agree.
There was like an interview or an award show or something that Tina Fey accepted an award or spoke at something at last year. And she was like, yeah, Lorne Michael makes little monsters. Everyone who worked on the other two would know that. Ha, just kidding. Like, I can't say that. So I'm sure there's some tea.
But you know what's so crazy is like, what, like, don't be like, I shouldn't say that. Everybody should just be, say what, like, let's all get it out in the, isn't that the whole thing of, did we not learn it with Me Too? It's like, can we not all just like, we need to tell each other what's going on.
I saw another tweet this week that was like, whenever I see celebrities doing all these like rich celebrities doing all these like movies and brand deals and stuff that are so not in line with their brand, like multiple things booked and busy, but not with good stuff. I'm like, there must be like, they must have some secret part of the like secret children who are like not doing well somewhere down the line.
Yeah, no, literally.
The amount of secrets.
So many secrets. I can't wait for, I want to know all of them. I'm like excited to like move forward in our career. We're like, oh yeah, like we'll get good, right? You know, da-da. No, I want to know the things nobody else knows.
Yeah. I want like a little box of tea. Just yummy, yummy. Today I saw someone tweet something, but I don't believe anything I read on Twitter anymore. But I saw someone tweet something that was like Colleen Ballinger and Jerry Seinfeld used to hook up. But I think that might have been a joke.
Wait, but that is so...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, comedians in cars giving roadhead.
Would you rather? Let's play a game of would you rather.
Shein, the fast fashion retailer that has been criticized for human rights violations, environmental pollution, and having small traces of lead in its clothing, made the news this month when they took 6 influencers on an all-inclusive brand trip to the company's innovation centers in China. While there, the influencers peddled positive propaganda about the brand, making videos interviewing the happy employees. Would you rather get to travel anywhere in the world for free, but have to do soul-sucking work the whole time, or never be allowed to leave LA, but not have to work ever again?
Are you kidding me? Never leave LA, never work again. I don't want to leave my room. I do not want to leave my room. Are you kidding? That's an insane, insane headline. That's crazy, but very easy for me. I would lay in my bed till I die.
I guess I asked the wrong person because I feel like there's people I know from like college and stuff who are not in this industry or whatever who have basically gone the former route. Like that's just their life.
Yeah. Well, no, I have friends who are like love traveling. And I'm like, I honestly, it's like, I mean, I theoretically love traveling, but I don't think I'm like, I don't even love traveling enough to travel for free, let alone like do something. You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah,
I get tired. But I'm trying to think like, what would the soul sucking thing? I'm like, where would I do soul sucking stuff? I'm like, ooh, Iceland, like that in the Blue Lagoon, I would do it, you know, like just a tour.
I don't know. I just think also, maybe I should have picked a different city than Los Angeles, but Los Angeles is Los Angeles because it can be everywhere else. Like LA is where they film so much stuff because it could be anywhere in the world. Like there's so many like micro cultures and micro climates and micro environments and there's sets.
Yeah.
You could be wherever you want to be in LA.
Ocean, I mean, mountain.
Well, you can't really be in the mountain in Los Angeles, but you could see it. You could look at it.
You could go to the observatory. That's a mountain, right?
That's true. I guess that is kind of the mountains, but...
To me, as somebody who's born and raised in Los Angeles, the Hollywood sign is a mountain.
The sign itself is a mountain.
Yeah, the sign. The sign. Nothing else.
It is tall.
It's tall. I'm like, to me, a mountain is, like, bigger than me.
A mountain is just, like, a tall man.
Oh my god, that's a mountain of a man I'd like to climb.
Yeah. What is insane to me, though, is the people I know who are, like, always traveling, like, working really hard, getting paid so much money, like, have no expenses, whatever. They're gonna only have to work for a few, like, they're not gonna have to work that long.
You think? But people like that sometimes are bad with their money. And then, like...
That's true. That's true. But I mean, I feel like I'm bad with my money.
I know. But you don't think you're, but you also don't think you're going to stop working.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to stop working. That's true. I feel like I'll be working until I die, but it's always going to be like. But I also wish I was working more, but it's like where how am I going to do ethical work? I don't feel like there's any ethical work. There's no ethical consumption, but I don't think there's ethical labor either. Sorry.
I agree. No, I genuinely agree. I feel like there's no universe where any job is 100% clean, ethical, right?
Because I think as soon as you're, like, entering yourself into this, like, transactional relationship for money, it's, like, starts to be weird. But I don't know.
And even if it's, like, oh, my God, it's, like, the perfect job, and it's, like, for, like, a really important cause, even, like, somebody weird could like say something weird to you at any moment.
Yeah, and people are always saying weird stuff at every moment.
Exactly. So no ethical labor.
I feel like I always come on this podcast and talk about how work is awful, and then I'm like, I need a job.
No, are you kidding? That's me. So that's me being like, yeah. And that's why I took my summer camp job.
It's good. It's good. And then it's a seasonal thing. Sometimes I'm like, teachers really made points. If only teachers got paid more, but teachers made points with their jobs being seasonal.
I think though some teachers though like get jobs in the summer sometimes. Because they're not paid well.
A private school teacher who didn't have to work in the summer, that's kind of a slay. Because
In a different life, I would teach pre-algebra at a really nice private school.
Why pre-algebra?
Actually, I don't know, because it was the first thing that came to my head. Honestly, what's easier than pre-algebra?
Algebra? Or no, that's after. just
geometry.
Like math, I guess. But why math? Why would you do math and not like...
Well, English? Math, I feel like English is like so much reading. And I feel like math grading, it's just like 27x. Like 26 to check, you know what I mean? Don't you think the grading is way easier? And if it's an easy enough math that, and I figure out the game or the formula of teaching that, but English, I'm like, let's have a discussion. I mean, I have so much energy, like I'm so lazy. Why am I? But you know, whatever.
I think I'd want to be like an AP psych teacher in high school. I think
AP. Okay, go on.
Yeah, I'm a little crazy. Mostly, yeah. I think because I was really excited to take AP Psych, and then my teacher was like so just useless in a way that was beneficial to being a student in the class. Like, it was a blow-off class. There were like days in the class where he would just not talk to us. We would be sitting there like just talking to the people sitting next to us. Also, we had a strict assigned seating chart, so like, even though he wasn't teaching class, we could only talk to the people near us. And I remember, like, I had a group of, like, three girlfriends in that class, but only two of us were near each other. But he would just not teach the class for 40 minutes. And then the last 20 minutes of class, he would be like, okay, we're going to start a movie. And he'd start a movie, like, a random 80s movie that was, like, had a vague moral about, like, not doing drugs or something like that. And then the next day, he'd be like, okay, we're doing an open book test. And then he would let us do open book, open note tests with a partner. So we'd take the test together with a partner. And then he'd give everyone a different grade just depending on, like, how he felt. The person I took the test with, we get different grades.
I feel like you just want to be this teacher.
No, I don't want to be this teacher at all.
Oh, this is the opposite. That's insane. That he should. He didn't do it. He was like a sub.
He fully didn't do anything. He was like a sub. He was the basketball coach.
Could have told you that. Oh, he's the basketball coach? Yeah, okay, check.
I want to be like a psych teacher that like pulls up TikTok videos and then I want to be like a toxic therapy speak psychology teacher.
Obsessed.
You know, like I want to pollute the young minds of today with like some guys like falsely recalling something and be like, he's gaslighting you guys. Like he's a gaslighter and he's a narcissist and like he's a male manipulator. I want to do that.
I love that.
If I want to ruin young minds.
Yeah. No, I was going to say if I had you, I would be, I'd be 30 by now. You know what I mean? Like mentally, like if you would have, if I had you in high school, I would have.
I want to like jumpstart everything, you know, because if you start with the toxicity, if you start with the toxicity that's present in like 20 or something year olds now, and you put it in their minds at 15, then yeah, maybe.
The wisdom, it, you know, accrues.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
There's problems. There's problems and there's solutions. And I've got solutions.
I hope we work at the same high school. In the alternate.
For sure. And we have all the tea at the water cooler and teacher's lounge.
We have those secrets. We really do.
We have in every
timeline, we're getting secrets.
We're getting secrets. That's our job.
That's the consistency. Yeah. I'd watch that movie, just two girls trying to get secrets in
every universe, everywhere.
Little secrets everywhere.
You know, sometimes I wish Quibi lasted longer so I could have had a Quibi show.
Get in just so you could have the, because there is something, because it is dead, it is kind of like a fossil, like to have had one of those shows. Like I remember I got it just to watch Game Show.
Whoa, I never got it, but when I was a development intern, I was reading a lot of pitches for things for Quibi.
I watched this one that was like this Uber ride or something, because I got it for like one session, mm-hmm. and then I immediately canceled it. So it was like I watched a bunch of little things trying to be like glean, like, okay, what is this? But I feel like the thing is, like, like people, their attention spans are so short where it's like, we don't want narrative content short. If we want to consume narrative content, we'll sit down and watch a normal TV show with normal plot arc, whatever, or a movie. But if we want to do something in a short amount of time, it's not going to be 5 minutes. It's going to be like, it's like,
10 seconds. Yeah,
exactly. So it kind of is a, well, I mean, obviously it failed. Could have told you that.
Did you see that Taylor Swift wants to like make people stop coming after her exes?
Oh, I did. Where she spoke and she was like, in this new chapter, it's not about me like going back to the, it's me about me owning my music and like we don't have to be rude. I'm like, I feel kind of weird about that.
I think Taylor Swift and her fans hate each other. Like, I think that it's one of those things where, like, the fans as a whole, they, like this idea of what she represents or whatever, but as soon as she has any autonomy, they're like, no. And I don't necessarily agree with things that she's done, but I remember, like, fans were trying to unionize to try to get her to stop dating Matt Healy, and I was like, yeah, like, I don't like Matt Healy, but you can't, that's not how it works.
You're not
in charge of her dating life. Like, that's not how that works.
Yeah, I think I saw something about the unionizing too. And I'm like, you can't unionize something where you're like buying tickets to go to. Like, yeah. I understand, you know.
I was like, you guys just don't, you don't have to be fans anymore if you don't want to be fans. It's an at-will thing. But I've never seen an artist with like such a, like, the fans, they're not on the same page.
No, that is honestly super interesting because I do feel like I've seen that before where they're just kind of like, oh, this is what we do. And she's like, oh, wow. I was just going to say my TikTok feed is like filled with the Taylor Swift, like earlier, like a month ago or something with the concert stuff. And I was like,
yeah.
I've never really been listened to, you know, whatever, or known, you know, the title of a song or something, but then all of a sudden it was every video.
I feel like I was like a casual listener. Like I listened to her stuff as it came out at my leisure because it was music that was coming out by a big artist.
And it's like on the radio. It was never
like, yeah, it was never like I cared. So, but I get the TikToks that are like deep dive investigations into like clues, specific clues from her life that like make people think that she was with Karlie Kloss.
And, right. Oh, have you seen the thing of like the little daisy?
I have not seen that. But I saw something about a helicopter recently. Like I was like, you guys need help. You guys need help. Like this is not. It's already weird if you're doing it. It's already weird if you're doing it about a relationship that's like public. But to be doing this
speculation
is crazy. But all right, truth or dare?
Truth. Truth first.
What is one like big piece of media that people loved, like the masses loved, and you like really didn't like or get behind?
That's a good question.
It's not super juicy, but
I know, but that is a good question. It like the first thing that comes to mind is like I was never like a Twilight person. I mean, you know, I feel like everybody was like so like culty obsessed with that, but I was never really like obsessed with any specific fandom type thing.
Did you just like not get into it, or were you like against it?
No, but it was like apathy. Yeah. So it was not, yeah. Because I feel like being against something is almost like the same energy as being for something because you're having such a strong take. But I had so much. The thing is, like, I feel like I'm genuinely sometimes an apathetic person, but then very specifically do like certain things. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, yeah, what? Oh, wait, I'm not good at having quick answers.
That's okay.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's my answer.
Yeah, I was not that big of a Twilight head either, but I feel like they are bigger now than almost when it was coming out.
Yeah. No, I know.
And I also feel like a lot of the fandom is like really gay, which is funny for such a straight, I guess because Kristen Stewart.
Movie, yeah.
But.
No, the whole plot is so intense heterosexual. Well, I'm sure maybe there's like, I'm like now.
I think it's Kristen Stewart like thinking about it hard, but.
Yeah. No, it's definitely her. Okay, wait, now your turn. Truth or dare?
I'll do a dare. I'll go crazy.
Okay. Let me see what I wrote down. I scribbled down something right before. Oh, this is so stupid. I wrote, post on your story asking for, I wrote this down, scissor recommendations.
Ah, that's funny. Do you want me to like post any specific picture with it? Or just like this, you know?
Yeah, just cute. You could say, need to cut something. Please set perfect. Need to cut something. Anybody have good scissor recs? So, people are gonna be like,
Why is there no scissor emoji? That's fucked up. Oh, no, there is. It just didn't come up when I searched the word scissor. I was like, that's really fucked up if they don't have one.
That's really fucked. Perfect. I can't wait to give you the recommendation to go to Staples.
Oh, thank you so much. We should just cut out the middleman. I already know what... whatever scissors you have, I get the ones that I want. I've seen the way you cut stuff.
I'll have what she's cutting with.
I'll cut with what she's cutting with.
Okay.
All right. To the dare.
I'll go for it. Give me a dare.
Okay. All right. I would like you to improvise a scene playing both parts. As Kermit and Miss Piggy having, like, seducing each other for the first time. Okay.
Oh, Miss Piggy! You look so dashing in that blonde number. Oh, Kermy, you have such a way with words. Put it in me.
That's where I have to cut it. I can't do it. I'm like, in my head, they both sounded the same.
I'm not going to make you do it, but I do wonder what a Kermit the Frog orgasm sounds like.
Yeah, no, you have to, if you have a Patreon, it's on that.
Exclusive footage.
Okay, your turn. Truth or dare?
Truth.
Okay, let's see what I wrote. Hope it's as good as the scissor one, right?
Yeah, oh, okay. This one was immaculate.
Okay, who, and you don't have to give the actual name, you can give like the type of person this is to you. Who have you not texted back yet, but have been meaning to text back for a while, and why haven't you texted them back?
Oh, there's plenty of people. This is such a funny question because I have plenty of people I need to text back. And why? The reason is just always like, I'm always like, I could respond better. I'm very self-conscious about my perceived affect over text. I always think I come across as like weird. And so I want to be able to reply. If it's especially with someone who's not like very close to me, I want to be able to reply at a time when I can like think about how I'm sounding. So that's why I haven't replied. Or they're asking me a lot of questions where I'm like, I can't answer that right now. Or I don't want to do the work to have to answer that. Scheduling things, sometimes I don't reply to them. But there's quite a few. I also did notice that I've been getting responses to my question. A lot of people saying Fiskars.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm going to have to Google that.
Fiskars. I didn't know people had,
like, I didn't either. A scissor brand they like?
Such strong preferences, but actually, I have three responses, and they're all three people that said Fiskars.
Wow. I guess those are, like, the classic orange scissor.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Modernity has failed us.
I know. I feel insane that I, like, I thought that was going to be such an absurd thing. Who would have a recommendation? Little did I know. Well, I mean, people love stuff. Also, that made me think about, in terms of you not replying to people, it's funny to me because I'm like, oh my God, I don't, for to have that be your kind of maybe petite insecurity of like the way you're perceived, because I'm so the opposite way where like, theoretically, now that you're saying that, I'm like, oh damn, I should really think about how I'd be perceived, because I'll just go like, I'll be on like a stoned walk or something and I'm just like, oh, texting somebody, paragraph. You've seen it. Blurb. Well, I guess close friends.
I've done it a lot, even with close friends. And then I'm always like, oh, fuck. Like, I should not have replied to that. Like, I was in a place where, like, I could not give it the real thing. And then now, like, somebody has. Then I get really self-conscious and I, like, I'm like, ah. And that's, like, my whole day is, like, thinking about my response to that. So I'm like, let me just.
That's fair. That's really fair, honestly. Sometime.
But then I've been criticized for, like, just reply, just say, like, I'll think about this when I can or whatever. But then I'm like, that is so, like, loaded. Like, I don't want it.
Yeah. You know? Like, I don't need a text being like, I'll get back to you. Just get back to me when you need have the thing. No, that's interesting. Honestly.
I try to reply within 24 to 48 hours to everybody. But
no, that's amazing. Sometimes someone will slip away and it's like, And I suddenly like wake up in the middle of the night sweating and I'm like, I didn't reply to someone 8 days ago. Oh no.
Sometimes I'll freak out though about like not replying to someone, and then I'll like look and check and it's just they didn't reply to me.
That is so human.
It's extremely randomista.
Randomista vibes for sure.
I've been loving that now on iMessage you can mark things as unread.
Oh, wait. Not on your phone, though. On your phone?
On your phone.
Wait, they started doing that? That is a game changer for me.
Yeah, so you just swipe, like, you swipe right, I think that is.
And it goes blue!
And then you click that little thing, and look, now.
I have an unread text from you.
Oh my god, wait, that's so crazy, because literally I live for that on my mail. I love that on my mail, because I can read something, read the whole, especially because if it's a paragraph, you want to read it all, but then it's like, I need it to have the blue.
And then I need to, if I'm going to remember to respond to it, like, it has to have the little thingy on it, the notification button. But, like, yeah. I don't want to sit in, like, in fear of what that message says, or, like, wait, if I want to read it, I want to, like, sometimes I have time to read but not respond, and it's a game changer, because I think I used to really just respond to anything that was sent to me because of that. And now I'm giving myself time to respond, which is good.
Yes. Hey, no, I think that's always good when you realize something makes you anxious and then you, like, make a call for yourself to prevent that thing. I'm realizing now, I'm like, I can't tell you how many times I, like, why did I send that paragraph? Like, I'm so stupid. And then I'm like dwelling on it. So rather give yourself 24 to 48 hours, think on it, and then send what you feel good about.
Sometimes that paralyzes me, though, to the point where I'm like, nothing's good enough. And sometimes I should have just replied in the moment. But other times it's great. I feel like I'm just one of the most, like, I think that I'm not somebody that people would ever be like, she's a bad texter. Like, because in the situations where people would be texting me often, like, that's always fine, like, and normal. And I'm pretty responsive and reliable when it comes to, if you are time sensitive sending me something, then I will respond with the time sensitivity, because I do read everything that comes in. I just, like, don't always respond to it immediately. But I had to make, like, no notifications for texting come through on my phone, because I, like, was just like, but now I can, like, check at my own leisure. But now, if there's no text when I check, I'm like.
That is, I can't tell you how I'm like, you know, you're addicted to my phone. Yeah, check, check, check. And then it's the 1 hour I'm like, okay, like, I'm gonna leave my phone for my walk and I'll see you in an hour. And I can't wait to be like the most, I bet a group chat will go off. I bet a group chat's gonna go off, and you come back and it's literally like one spam email.
Yeah.
That's kind of a criminal human moment.
Yeah, that's some of the hardest times to be alive on this world.
On this earth. Yeah.
But you know what hasn't been hard? Talking to you for the last hour.
I love talking to you.
You're the most wonderful. Oh my gosh, thank you. And I'm sure our listeners loved hearing from you. Where can they find you? Do you have anything you're working on right now that you want them to check out, etc.?
Me and my sketch group, Babe Motel, we're going to be performing in LA in August and New York in September. And then I'm on a UCB Lloyd team, which is every other Monday night. And, you know, my Instagram is my first and last name. Same with my email. So yeah, I guess I'm plugging my email.
She will read and mark as unread if you email her.
I will. If you want to put my email down for like 15% off Ubers, DoorDash. Cool. No, those are my big plugs. What about you?
Wow. Well, everyone knows my plugs, you know that.
Oh right, of course. Yeah.
I mean,
I guess this is your plug. Yeah.
This is my plug. Working on a short right now. And that is happening. We're going to have a big LA launch party in August with, like, music and comedy and fun stuff. But that's, like, in the works.
Oh, my gosh. Yay.
So keep your eyes peeled for that if you're in LA. And otherwise, yeah, just follow Avery. Check out Babe Motel. Babe Motel, three babes doing Babelicious, hilarious, laugh-out-loud sketch comedy. And I'll see all the rest of you next time. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. Check out Avery's projects and social media. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this feed so you never miss an episode of Pillow Fight ever again. Love ya. Bye.